So to make sure I have the right human being, would you identify yourself, please?
This would be Grantley Phillips.
This is a good start, and you look just like the guy on the album covers.
Really? Minus my Napoleon hat.
Minus the Napoleon hat. So I think I could do my entire radio show just on the musicians that play at Largo, and simply because three quarters of it is my playlist. You, Michael Penn, Amy Mann, John Bryan, and it's become this very strange mecca for, you know, melodic rock and roll and a mix of comedy, Patton Oswalt next to Michael Penn. How do you think it really came about? And please don't tell me it's the strange owner.
The strange owner. Well, I mean, we can't forget him. We can't forget Flanagan.
No, we can't.
But, you know, I think it's just one of those things where Los Angeles has always been lacking in terms of having the right stuff to create something that resembled a scene. You know, and I think in a lot of ways, you know, you had a lot of singer-songwriters and sort of kind of old-school entertainers, you know, those of us who really enjoy playing music, but we also, you know, just love a chance to get up and play and to improvise. And so Largo was that place.
Kind of like the Village in the 60s.
Well, perhaps. I missed out on all that. But, you know, I mean, it's been that kind of, it's like more of a cabaret, I guess, you know. It doesn't fit into that whole rock thing, you know. I mean, they do their fair share of showcases, but it's not about that.
Not the Viper Room.
No, and you know, I mean, I've been there maybe once. There's so many clubs around LA that come and go, and Largo has had that consistency, and, you know, it's more of a songwriter's room.
Yeah, and it's funny because I wrote it down as a long-lost variety show where everyone is friends, and by the end of the night, a lot of magical musical stuff happens.
Hey, I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot. You know what I mean? I threw out a songwriter's room. I mean, even that, it's not necessarily accurate because, you know, a lot of the best songs that have happened under that roof have been made up on the spot. You know, someone shouts out, you know, play the Monkees, you know, and they usually got that sort of Brooklyn accent. I don't know why, but
yeah, hey, play the Monkees.
Play the Monkees, and and then someone shouts out, you know, play Bertolt Brecht, you know, and I'm like, did you guys come together, you know, and you get and so there you have it, you know.
I'll show us the way to the next whiskey bar.
Right,
you know,
exactly. Mac, the daydream believer.
I like it. Yeah, that's where you got to go. You know.
Yeah. So before I put the single, now obviously I've played your music way before the 1980s album, but we might as well just shill the album and then we can work backwards. But before I put on Love My Way, I took a deep breath. You know, I got the single and I took a deep breath because, again, messing with a, quote, iconic song featured in Valley Girl and, you know, Psych Furs and all that.
Right.
And then I put it on the air and I heard you call this album your personal mixtape. Well, guess what? It's mine, too. So do you think someday your versions, like say in the Galactic Year 2010, do you think that somebody will take your versions of these iconic songs and put a spin on them?
Oh, wow, that hadn't occurred to me. You know, that would be kind of wild if such a thing happened.
They never heard the originals and only had yours to go by.
Well, that's quite a possibility. I mean, it's been a while since the originals came out.
You know, it's easy to do another covers album, but I think the point of your album, if I may be so bold, was that these are good songs.
That's certainly it. I mean, I think all of these songs are you know, they're trailblazers in that, you know, when Love My Way came out, I can't think of another song that sounds like that, you know. You know, and that's taken into consideration the sound of it, you know, the singing style, you know, and then the composition, you know, the imagery, all of those things. But I kind of felt like, well, the song is strong enough that you can take it out of that environment and kind of appreciate it around, you know, around the Duralog, you know, late at night with the whole camper.
Now, this has been in the works for a long time, and I think I read somewhere, and I don't know which press release it was, that you covered about, you were live, you did Bauhaus, and you kind of said, well, I did Bauhaus, and, you know, for years I've been wanting to take a bunch of songs and kind of do the thing to them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I grew up with these songs. I had moved to, you know, I grew up in Northern California, in Stockton, actually, and when I came to Los Angeles, you know, kind of, I became introduced to a whole world of music that I was virtually unaware of, you know, growing up in the country. And, you know, that kind of coincided with putting a band together and making these continual trips to San Francisco, for instance, and Berkeley with a band called Shiva Burlesque back in like 83, 84. So, yeah, you know, it's all in there. I mean, you know, you have to get up somewhat close to the stage to see the mascara and all that, you know.
Yes.
But
thank goodness.
Yeah, but it's still there. It's still, you know, it's virtual. It's in my blood, you know. It's like mercury. it really sort of laid the groundwork for what would be called alternative music later on, you know. And I don't know, probably gave a lot of artists hope that you could really kind of consider this an art form. It, you know, wasn't just about winning some prize like it's sort of become today. You know, there's so many darn talent shows and American Idols and
Lord help us, right? I know, and the whole cover, the idea of covering a tune suddenly becomes like singing the national anthem.
Well, that's true. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've only followed a few of them. I got quite hooked into NXS Rockstar.
Wow.
You know, because
yeah,
that was like
go.
The height of weirdness for sure. You know.
Let's see if we can replace Michael Hutchence with an iconic guy in an iconic band.
The most respectful way to do that. You would have a game show.
Obviously, and, I know I would. It would be my first choice.
So I got quite hooked into that one, you know. But I don't know if I have the stomach to go.
I've never watched American. You know, being in this business, I've never watched American Idol, and I'm supposed to be Mr. I know trends. And somebody's like, "Did you know?" And I'm sorry. Well, it spoils dinner conversation.
Yeah. Well, so much of it is about being, you know, sort of stamped across the head, you know, being proved that you're worthy, and it's all about that mainstream acceptance, and for me, that's kind of the cool thing that you'll find in all of the artists that I covered. All of it, you know, in terms of America, these were more fringy kind of artists, and there were artists who were certainly more fringe than that, but
the mix is pretty interesting, because when you look at it at first, you do have to think. There are a few that say, okay, South End, Central Rain, well, iconic REM song, but then you Pixie, wait a minute, you know.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, a lot of these bands, they made a real dent, and they probably influenced, you know, a lot more bands than those who bought the album, you know, the first time around. You know, kind of like the Velvet Underground, right? I mean, that statement I think Eno said it. You know, everyone who bought the record, you know, started a band. And I don't know if that's true of Joy Division or of REM, but I bet you there's a whole lot of bands that wouldn't have been started if it wouldn't have been for those groups.
No question about it. And you covered the songs of friends, particularly Robin Hitchcock. Just the pressure of the reaction alone.
Well, yeah, you know, I had been a big fan of Robin's, and then over the last 10 years, we've become good friends as well, and we've toured together. And so, yeah, I kind of held my breath, hoping that, you know, I wouldn't stretch it too far. But then again, you know, I had to make it my own as well. Yeah, I think he likes it. I think he quite enjoys the track. His comment was, though, that it sounds like you might have been on a different train than I was, you know.
Well, but having seen Robin at the past two South by Southwest, he is pretty much on a different... He's the only one who can make the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees sound intriguing.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, because he'll throw in, you know... mescaline into the mix, or you know.
Yeah, right. The bees are always on their own type of special honey.
Right. That's exactly it. So yeah, you know, I mean, it was a chance to kind of I don't know, just sort of hang out with my friends and, you know, the heroes of mine, you know, in this sort of sonic space, and then, you know, put the thing out there and share it with the fans. It was really that kind of thing, you know, not expected to be anything much more than a labor of love for my fan base, you know, and perhaps some of the people that maybe are fans of these songs as well.
Well, I think it probably expands the fan base, doesn't it?
You know, it's possible. Yeah, I suppose it is. It's funny. I've been in drugstores and heard Love My Way over the last year. You know, it those things are out there in the atmosphere. You don't always notice them, you know.
Well, that's thanks to Muzak. Muzak is, you know, I there was a big article in The New Yorker about what Muzak does now. And Muzak's not music. They have music consultants who work with all the major retailers to design the environment for the demographic. So, you know, when you walk into a Gap, you're getting music designed based on the demographics of the Gap. So you could get Psych Furs next to, you know, all sorts of strange stuff.
They've done the numbers. They've crunched the numbers, and they know that for some reason... You know,
Love My Way sells low cut jeans.
That's right. Throbbing Gristle will get you into a pair of low rise.
Exactly. It is, you know, Throbbing. You're right. It was Throbbing. Yes, it was Throbbing Gristle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'll leave that alone.
Yeah, 20 Jazz Funk Greats, I think, is the one.
Parliament. Yeah. Parliament sells a lot of handkerchiefs.
That's right.
We don't know why George Clinton does, but he just does.
Right. Well, thank heavens for Choice Point, you know, kind of keeping track of us. You know, somebody's got to look out for us. You know?
It's important. Obvious question, but I have to ask, were there a lot more songs that didn't make the cut or make a good volume 2?
That's a good question. You know, I wanted to cover a Pretender song. You know, I wasn't sure which one. I was playing Back on the Chain Gang now and then, you know, a latter song. Susie and the Banshees was another one, you know.
Ooh, that would have been interesting.
I keep on thinking I'm going to do it one of these days, you know. Spellbound, that would be my choice, yeah. You know. There is a cover of Ashes to Ashes that I did most recently with the Section Quartet in Los Angeles, and actually John Bryan played on it as well, played some celeste and vibraphones and kind of orchestral, you know. And I mean, Bowie is such a big influence that I had to do that, but for some reason I couldn't get it together to do it on this album, so it's more of a download.
Well, we'll get there. What has been the strangest and most interesting reaction to the material so far? Because people are coming to see you from obviously Grant Lee Buffalo and from the previous, you know, Virginia Creeper and all of that. And then they show up and they might not have this record and you're up there playing this material. What's been the most interesting thing that's happened?
It's interesting to find how many of us, you know, have this music in common, you know. You know, give or take, you know, those who are 10 years older than me or 10 years younger, you know. It has created quite a commonality, you know.
Okay, so there's another Originals album in the works. Where's that journey going to take you?
Well, it's hard to say, you know. I'm just chipping away, writing and woodshedding, as they say, doing a lot of recording at home, a little bit at a time, you know. I kind of like that method, which is, you know, it's something that I can do today that I might have not done 10 years ago, because home recording has become a lot more, you know, accessible in a lot of ways, you know. You can get good results at 2 in the morning in your pajamas. I like that kind of spontaneity, you know, so that I don't have to try to arrange cartage, you know, in the middle of the night. I can just kind of move on an idea.
Very cool. So the last thing, obviously we have not talked for an hour, but the last thing we do, it's a little trademark, and we've done it with a lot of people, a lot of your friends, is we call it a musical sandwich. And you notice I didn't ask you about your influences, because in this particular case it would be a waste of my time.
Right.
But what we like to do, and this is going to be really interesting given this album, is we take two of your songs as the bread, and then we take a bunch of songs in between, and I bring in the CDs and the records, and we play anything that you want to play.
Let's begin with let's lay down the bottom part of this bun, right? You know, and that's the plain side. And, you know, I'm going to add a little Dijon, because I like to spice it up a bit.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll toast it some. And
this is designed for you, sir. This is so up your alley for the pattern you were.
When you gave me the culinary angle, you
yes.
know, I was able to run with it.
Ready to
you
rock.
Know, that's that first slice, I would say, would probably be a wave of mutilation.
Right.
By the Pixies, and I think it's perhaps maybe it's the first song on this album, 1980s.
Yes.
That will be our base to build from, and I'd like to follow that up with the Velvet Underground's "White Light, White Heat." Okay, I mean that's where we're going to go
yes.
on that. You know, a nice big, and that's kind of like your lettuce,
yes.
your tomato,
yes.
all rolled
crunchy.
Into one. A little crunchy, you know, but
yes.
you know that you're chewing on something.
Yes.
And now let's go to "The Prettiest Star." David Bowie, I think it's off Aladdin Sane.
Yes.
And if I'm correct, I believe Mark Bolan plays a little bit of guitar in there.
Yes.
And in that case, you know, what we're thinking of Mark and T-Rex, I would reckon it would be nice to go to Mambo Sun right after that. Okay,
yes.
Now we're into a little bit of sort of Eddie Cochran-tinged
yes.
Glam. And if we can dig quite far back into the far recesses, let's find Gene Vincent and his Blue Caps singing Catman.
Very nice.
Catman! Crazy, crazy hillbilly,
yes.
Rockabilly stuff that you don't want to run into these guys in the middle of the night out in the woods.
You know
it's going to be bad. You know it's the stuff of David Lynch.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to be there. But it's great listening. And so where are we at now? We're about the sandwich is getting. No, it's probably
like a. It's a good deli sandwich.
It's a sandwich. It's a big one. Yeah. Where do we take it from here? You know, I would want to hear "He Wore" by Cat Power, off her album "You Are Free."
Yeah. He wore.
Something like that. That's a nice one. And from there, you know, I would wonder if it would be possible if we could hear Rena, the new the new Sonic Youth album.
Absolutely.
Rather Ripped.
Kind of amazing.
Yeah,
yes.
Really amazing. You know, it's got that sort of. I don't know, it's like they're holding the lid tight on that kettle, you know. It's not completely going to explode, but it sure feels like it the whole time, you know. Melodic, just right, you know. And in some ways a back reference to White Light, White Heat, and all
yes.
the rest of it, you know. Okay, so we've got Sonic Youth. I want to follow that one up with an old Iggy song, you know? Just because I'm feeling in that sort of East Coast kind of mind, yes. You know what we're saying? And, you know, what Iggy song? I would reckon it would be nice to hear, how about Fun Time?
There you go.
All aboard for Fun Time.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that's a good one. And where are we at now? This thing, the sandwich is about 18 inches tall now.
Yes. You
can't get your mouth around it.
No.
You know, it's more of a contest. It's
that's
more
right.
about the idea now.
Yes.
Goodness. Goodness, goodness, goodness. Between the Bars, Elliott Smith.
Nice.
I think I'm just about to the point where I can listen to Elliott again, you know.
Yeah.
It's I listened to the dude and got to spend a little bit of time with him in his short life in Los mm-hmm. Angeles, and was certainly a big, big fan. And I don't know, but it's the kind of thing where it's kind of hard to go there sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we sort of have to go it.
Intributes.
We have to go there, you know, just because it's so darn good, and because it really, I don't know, it opens up your heart, and I think that's where I want to go right now. And coming all the way back, Elliot actually played Largo, come to think
yes.
of it, you know. How about Fiona Apple, you know? Maybe...
maybe one of the Brian tracks?
Well, Extraordinary Machine would be nice,
yes.
you know. Well, I think that would probably do me for now.
That is lovely.
Yeah.